This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. Larry Massey has shared his passion for Michigan history for more than two decades, writing 21 books about the Great Lakes State. He lectures at universities, festivals, libraries, and schools. Massey tells colorful tales of Michigan's shipwrecks, lumberjacks, miners, poets, and politicians, anyone who has contributed to this state's history. He won the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Historical Society of Michigan. Blue Water, Red Metal, and Green Gold is Massey's newest book. I talked to Massey about how he got interested in history.
Well, I first fell in love with old books as a child. Started collecting them and amassed a library. When I graduated from high school, I had 1,000 books. Now I've got 45,000 books. And, you know, I went to college at Western, and with the love of books, I figured I'd major in history because books are the historian's tools. And I love Michigan, grew up here, wouldn't want to live anywhere else, so that's what I chose to specialize in, the heritage of Michigan.
Have you found yourself on occasion overturning history books, rewriting the facts because you found that what you find in history books may not actually be accurate?
Oh, yeah. There, errors creep in, and, you know, any historian knows that. I mean, I've even made some mistakes in my own writing. But let me give you an example. There was a wonderful history professor at Western by the name of Willis Dunbar. And he wrote a comprehensive history of Michigan in the 1960s. Well, it was revised by another historian who allowed some errors to creep into it through his own research. For example, Willis Dunbar never said that there were no wolverines in Michigan. He said they were scarce, but there were wolverines in Michigan. We're the wolverine state. Well, this other historian quoted from an article that there were never any wolverines in Michigan. Well, that got me kind of peaked. So I wrote an article proving that there were wolverines in Michigan. And the funny thing about it was I was just about completing the article when they found that wolverine up in Ubley in the thumb.
Now, one of the stories that intrigued me in this particular collection was about the Allegan Forest and the history there, some shady realtors and how they sold property to people. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, when the pioneers came into Allegan County, they found this beautiful forest of white pine trees. I mean, trees that were 150, 200 feet tall. Three men together couldn't get their arms around some of those trees. And so the lumberjacks came in and started cutting down all that green gold, and the Kalamazoo River threads through Allegan County, and so that was perfect. That was like a highway to float the logs downstream to a town at the mouth of the Kalamazoo River called Singapore, where there was lumber mills to cut it up. So that went on for, maybe 40 years or so, and then came the Chicago Fire of 1871, where the city lay in ruins, and a call came up, send us more of that Michigan white pine. And so the lumberjacks finished off all the white pine that grew anywhere near the Kalamazoo River in Allegan County within 3 or 4 years. That town, Singapore, they pulled up the lumber mill and moved it up to the Upper Peninsula, and everybody moved away, and the sand covered Singapore.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm talking with Larry Massey about his book Blue Water, Red Metal, and Green Gold. One of the stories in this collection tells about shady real estate agents selling land ruined by loggers to unsuspecting buyers, land that is today known as the Allegan State Forest.
So then we had, you know, all this kind of worthless land, which was covered with these pine stumps, and nobody could do anything with it. And then around the turn of the century, they decided to change the name of this township, which was originally called Pine Plains, to Valley. Anybody that knew anything about farming knew that a Pine Plains would not be a good place to farm, but Valley has this connotation of a beautiful valley, luxuriant, good farming country. these realtors and developers bought this land up for pennies on the acre, platted them into 10-acre farmsteads, and at the same time, there was a kind of a back-to-nature movement. People in the city wanted to return to nature and have small farms. And so they promoted this idea to them, and they began buying up. Now, they were shady in the respect that they knew that the land was worthless, sandy, blow sand, but they planted corn shocks to make it look like there had been a good farming episode. Sometimes, because the land is so arid here, as a matter of fact, it's the only place in Michigan where you can find cactus and yucca growing.
Hmm.
They would bury a barrel of water and put a hand pump on top of it and say, "Taste this water, isn't this good?" Whereas anybody that lives out here knows, after a rainstorm, you don't find a puddle; it goes right to the underneath. So these poor folks bought these farmsteads, and they were able to eke along for a few years on the forest mulch. But then by the late 1920s, they were literally starving to death. It was not farmable land. Along came the Great Depression of the 1930s, and one of the New Deal programs was a resettlement program where the government would buy worthless land from people and allow them to buy land elsewhere that was farmable. Or in some cases, they just traded them land. A whole colony of them went from Allegan County up to the Matanuska Valley in Alaska, where they grow those strawberries as big as your fist. And so the government acquired about 50,000 acres of this submarginal land and turned it into the Allegan State Forest. It was later given to the state of Michigan, and the trees gradually returned. And so now we have this beautiful area, 50,000 acres, with these wonderful white pine trees and oak trees, and the land has returned to what it was really meant to be, a forest.
Blue water, red metal, and green gold. What else can readers expect to find in this collection?
Well, there's stories about shipwrecks. There's stories about the copper rush, which rivaled the later gold rush of 1849. There's stories about murder mysteries. There's stories about, I even got some famous actors and actresses in here. I got Ronald Reagan in the book because he portrayed in a movie George Gipp, Win One for the Gipper. And I got Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in because they made a movie in 1954 called The Long, Long Trailer. And as it turned out, that trailer was made in Albion, Michigan, the New Moon Trailer. So there's a little bit of everything for anybody, and I'm writing for the general public. I try to do my research as carefully as I can, but I want to write so that everyday people can enjoy reading about their heritage.
You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been talking with Larry Massey, the author of Blue Water, Red Metal, and Green Gold. I'm Zinta Astars. Join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.